The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron. A podcast featuring Elvira Love, Deborah Voith, and Lenora Brightmoon. Three out of the broom closet professional witches with over 70 years combined experience of making magic. This is a show on the LMC Radio Network. During each episode, they will help you create rituals, cast spells, make potions, and much more besides. They'll spend time speaking about different goddesses from all over the world, paying attention to the ancient reverence of long-ago cultures and infusing it with a modern perspective. And now, on with the show.
Well, hello there, Lenora. How you doing?
Pretty good, Elvira. Welcoming everybody back. It's cold out.
Yes, it is cold. We are now officially getting on to that kind of temperature. So today we are going to be talking about solitaire or coven. And obviously we did a show, Deb Voith and I did a show on coven, but this one is also bringing that energy and conversation into the idea of being a solitaire and what the differences are and what the possibilities and why someone might want to do one or the other. So I'm going to kind of start off with definitions a bit. So when we talk about being a solitaire, it means you're basically autonomous in on your spiritual path and you're following it by yourself. And it's set up for practitioners to design their own rituals and follow a self-directed path and adapting different practices to a the personal needs so that when you feel you want to do something, you kind of go with that aspect as opposed to a rigid structure. It's a lot of it is self-taught using different kinds of books that are out there on the spiritual path. I know that Scott Cunningham did one that has been very popular. And it's your own personal exploration. Obviously, we have the internet, so you have YouTube tutorials that people can follow. And, you know, at this point, you know, that's kind of how people get into the experience on their own without being in a coven or any kind of a, you know, committed connection. Of course, there's also workshops. A lot of people will give workshops where you can learn certain types of things and ideas about what the pagan tradition is and the pagan practices. As far as what a coven is, it's definitely more formal and it's a communal group of, you know, practitioners who have studied and work and worship together. There's member participation, and you wind up sharing different tasks and in a very structured way, and you can get very elaborate following a tradition. Sometimes it can be Wiccan, it can be Gardnerian, it's specialties. And, you know, the actual benefit of that is that you get more direct mentorship and structured lessons in a more direct personal way. So, you know, I mean, there's a fine line that you can, you know, enjoy that part of it. And then, you know, as we'll talk about later on, you know, the idea of, I don't want to say mixing and matching, but changing and modifying how you choose to learn and practice your path. Now, Lenora, I wanted to see if you had anything you wanted to add or embellish upon.
Yeah. So, you know, I was talking to my teacher as I'm coming out of my studies for the year, and it's just so interesting. So I was unknowingly doing self-practice just through intuition. intuition and following stuff when I was doing energy work and just things that came up, and I just lit the candle or put this on the altar or used the water or whatever it was that represented elementals, although at the time I had no idea what that meant. But it was just guided. It was self-guided. It was understanding. And so as we got into a conversation, we were talking about how when you're on your own, when you're doing your self practice, you are learning about you. You're learning about your limitations. You're learning about what makes you tick, what doesn't, what you like, what you don't, what you're interested in, and ways that you participate for yourself within the energy and the celebration of what your beliefs are. And then when you come into a coven, it's the other half of the key, because it's community. A coven is literally your family. And if you're in a good coven and they're activating the way they should, then you literally have, you do have structure and you do have a lot more personalized information and guidance. But also you have family, you have people that get to know you as well as you know them. And they know when you shouldn't be, you know, when the priestess welcomes you into the space, if you're not in a certain space to be able to be in there, like she's the one distinguishing what's going on, who's coming in, who needs to stay out. Like there's a lot of community and caring going on there. Approaching when people are out of balance and dealing with that, you know, in a way that that person can hear and stuff like that. When you're on your own, you're learning more about yourself. But when you are in a coven, you are stepping into family, and it is very much at the same level almost as your own family, really, if you're in a good one. And you're given of yourself and they're given to you, and you spend a lot of time getting to know each other. But also when you raise your power as a group, you know, that's something you all need to know, is everybody's on the same page of like-mindedness and things like that. It's pretty interesting.
Yeah, because I mean, a lot of it, I think many of us start, just like you said, you were doing things that you didn't necessarily know were part of the ideas of exact structure of a, you know, of the pagan tradition or the any tradition. And that's part of it. I think that it's also, a lot of us will go out of our way to, you know, say, this is something important, I want to see if there's a class on it, you know, like an introductory class. Which, as you know, things have gotten more open and things have become a little bit more fluid, you have more ability in, you know, your community to find people who teach it and bring workshops together.
Yeah. And there's also like daily just things, like I'm a part of several groups on Facebook, Wiccas for Beginners, things like that, different interest groups that post different things. And I learn through them too, but I take what I learned there and I talk to my teacher about it. But for solitaries, if you're looking for additional information, that's another way to get it besides just the internet and just the YouTube. There's also like interest groups and people in the area. There's Midwestern pagan pages and all kinds of stuff, you know, because I'm in the Midwest, things like that, where people just need that connection, because as a solitary, you don't have the group. And so you are doing things to learn about yourself and learning about how to raise your power and learning about the elementals and learning about your relationship with the god and goddess and things like that. But you don't have another person to talk to. And so the communities have popped up this way on Facebook and, you know, I'm assuming Instagram, I'm not on there, but other groups, and you can post things and people respond and people get on with concerns or fears or dreams or situations and just create that community and connection. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, because a lot of it is, you're just like you said, it's developing a certain self reliance and a deep personal connection to your own beliefs that will start giving you a perspective of the pagan, you know, tradition, and then moving informally into a more community-based environment, you know, back and forth. And I really, you know, think that both areas are very important.
I think group rituals are really interesting within the coven, because you don't get that with the solitaire. I mean, mm-hmm. you build up and do rituals on your own in solitaire to let them know you're there every day and to, you know, participate and learn. But the things like the Great Rite and watching the goddess, you know, call down the moon and different things like that, you don't get that as a solitaire. Right. So there's some really interesting, you know, powerful rituals and situations that you can experience that you cannot experience as a solitaire.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I know a lot of people who start as a solitaire are because they're, you know, they've got a lot of commitments, and timing in covens is you are required to be able to do the different things, the gatherings, the Sabbaths, mm-hmm. the Espers, the meetings.
Yeah.
It's, you know, because as you say, family, it's
family.
That is part of the structure.
Mm-hmm. It is. It demands a lot of your time. I've found a very interesting way of balancing that with my family, with two kids, and still being there for that family. And as many times as needed, which when it's needed, it's needed. You have to recognize that it's literally on the same level of importance it should be as your family. Right. And for some people, that's a challenge. For some people, they're married to others who maybe don't recognize your practice or don't support what you do, or, you know, have judgments around it, or their family has judgments around it, or whatever it is.
Right.
It makes it a lot harder to be part of a group if you don't have the right balance in the home environment that supports you doing it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So part of it is that for coven, but also because you have to put so much into it for individuals, some individuals are still hiding from themselves. They're not doing their own work, which again, the part of the solitary practice is for learning mm-hmm. yourself and your work and, you know, moving through some of your fears. You can't really step into a coven if you don't know who you are. And sometimes you can step into a coven and then, you know, go a different path and step out and either hive out or solitary out for a while and get to know yourself again, you know, mm-hmm. as you grow on your path. Mm-hmm. And so you can do both. You could start in one and come out. You can do this. There's no right or wrong way to do it. It's just they're both pieces of the key. You need yourself and you need your family.
Exactly. Exactly. Because a lot of, you know, it's interesting because when you look at how one hears about, well, I have dedicated myself to this tradition, and it's because just like going to school, you learn certain things, and yet then you like to do certain other things that are on your own that, you know, make you more, it gives you more breadth. It gives you more width, more bandwidth to hold things. And so it can start in a coven, or you can start as a solitaire and move to a coven. You know, there's a group of ways to do it. And I think that's important. And you brought it up in the fact that it's a way of learning yourself, because in the end, a practice, whether it's solitaire or coven, you still need to know yourself. You need to know, you know, strengths. You need to know weaknesses. You need to know how to handle things when, you know, there is certain things going on, we'll just call it out in the spiritual atmosphere, and it affects you. And so you have a family to come to, or if you're on your own, you basically go inside, you meditate, you hold your center, you do the things that get you anchored in terms of how to handle things. But even as a solitaire, I have people that I have connected with over the years that we hold the space. We are long distance family, so to speak, that allow us to go through what we need to go through, but also have another individual in the same kind of practice that you can talk to.
Yes. Yeah, like being around like-minded people, whether they're far away or close, and the support, the energy support. Energy doesn't need time and space. It just is. And so we do have the ability to support each other no matter where we are when we're connected like that.
And, you know, it all comes down to, it's interesting because looking at this, it's one versus the other. It's, you know, in a way it's solitaire and coven, because that is the balance, the harmony with regards to the idea. I know that sometimes you're in a position where, and this is the other part, you're in a position where you don't have the ability for one reason or another to have the kind of community that you could be a part of a coven in a very intimate, personal, physical way. And that's been bolstered now a little bit by the internet, but you always have to be careful on the internet as well, just like you do in physical form, real covens, to determine the value, the structure. Are they, you know, is it real? Is it just, you know, fun and games, that kind of a thing?
Yeah, because you have the groups that are just having fun with the surface concept, and maybe they're on a power trip, or maybe they're just having fun, you know, doing the easy things or whatever it is. But if you're putting yourself in it, understanding the practice is putting yourself into it. When we do magic, we put our energy into it. We are doing it. And when you are a coven family, you are participating with each other and you're connected, but far away and not in the space, it would be harder to maintain that family connection in a deep way that allows for each person to know the other person is okay, or when they're not okay, for that group to come together and, you know, make sure they are okay and not to step into a magic space when you're out of balance, because that's really not a good idea because you're putting yourself into it. So if you're out of balance, it's not a good place to start. And you need to be able to hear feedback. You need to take self-responsibility, understand that life does get in the way and that maybe you're not one to step into the circle right now, things like that. But how do you do that with a group of, you know, 1.8 million people that claim to be in an online coven? I'm not saying it's good or bad. It's just use your discretion. Does it feel right to you? Is this what you're needing or getting out of it? You know, is it meeting you where you are?
Yeah. Because a lot of what we wind up engaging in when we do, you know, magical work, spiritual work, pagan work, is it's challenging us. Even, you know, the older, elder individuals that have been around for a long, it's still challenging. It's because the whole process is fluid. It is all part of life and experience. And, you know, my father used to say, he's a Reikian therapist, he used to say, life is fluid. Rigidity is death. So, you know, it doesn't mean the physical death, but it's death to that energy pattern, to what you're doing. So you need to have a certain amount of interactions with people to stay fluid, to stay available, to engage in a way to learn yourself, your energies, and how to navigate. And I know that for me, I've always found the in-person interactions empowering and important because of, I mean, we can do energy work long distance. That's not an issue. It's because we're in a physical form. And at some point, if I'm breaking down and crying, to have somebody just put their hand on my shoulder or, you know, my hand is enough to get me to rebalance myself. So when we're doing rituals, it will affect us. And we don't invade the other person's sphere, but we're there when we see the need for it. And that's why the interactions within a physical form is important. But I've also done solitaire and found myself in incredible places in the middle of, you know, whatever I was doing, and got just, you know, really brought to a certain higher level.
Yeah. And, you know, the other thing too is there's a sacredness around the coven activity and what's going on. And so you don't share where you meet or where your covenstead is. For those of you who don't know, covenstead is where the practices take place, where the meetings take place and things like that, and the ritual work in a coven. You don't have that as a solitaire. You have your dedicated spaces, but you don't have a covenstead per se. But also you don't share that information outside the group. And so there's yet again a family connection that happens, because you're sharing something that is more sacred to an inner circle experience than something you find on the internet and everybody knows where it is and what's going on. You know, and I'm sure at one point that was for a safety reason, but it has continued to be just kind of a sacred role for honoring the people that have decided to follow that path and dedicate their lives to it. And you don't have that as a solitary. So there's a lot of things you get to experience when you come into a coven. It's pretty interesting.
And, you know, doing solitaire practice is has its benefits. And one of them is being able to, for instance, tailor your rituals to yourself, to your personal needs and rhythms at this particular time and place. You know, there's the fact of, you know, a self-initiation. I know that, you know, like most groups, you know, when you have, you're brought into the fold, it's got such a immense power coming and washing over you. But I think that even in self-ritual that you do for your, you know, yourself and self in, you know, initiations, that can be just as empowering. And it's also very challenging to stay grounded and not lose yourself. So it is a big learning lesson on how can I hold this much power and this much energy and space and still stay me and grounded, because, you know, that's the, you know, you walk your, you know, they'll say walk your talk, you walk your path, right, whether or not anyone knows what your path is, and, you know, or that you are, you know, a solitaire or in a coven, but that whole process.
You know, and then coven, I think you learn a lot, and there's different degrees, if I remember, 1, 2, and 3 degrees for learning and, you know, moving up in the hierarchy of the experience and the power levels and things like that. It's not something that's granted. It's just something that as you learn and teach, you grow into those degrees as they become evident that you're able to exert and follow the pathway on them. It's pretty cool. But again, you know, when you're solitary, you're just you. So you have yourself as accountability. You have yourself, and you go as slow or as fast as you want. And you celebrate the Esbats or the Sabbats, you know, accordingly as you wish to do so. Whereas in a group, there's a lot of planning. There's a lot of everyone participating, doing different parts of the rituals, and also being welcomed in by the priestess. For anybody who doesn't know, in a coven, the priestess will welcome you into the circle. So if you're not okay, they won't welcome you in. You know, there's a lot of like sort of, you know, hierarchy and watching over each other, I guess, you know, way to put it, you know, and it's a unique experience, but it's not for everybody. Not everybody wants to be in a group setting where they're responsible and sharing power and understanding. So it might not be for you to ever be in a coven, and that doesn't mean it's wrong.
Correct. Correct. And, you know, you also, we all have gone in, started a book of shadows, whether you're in a coven or you're a solitaire. But the book of shadows for a solitaire is where it becomes a personal record of, you know, your journeys, the created spells that you do, the created rituals that you do. It's it's your own diary for what you're doing, but it also becomes a way for you to build from one level of where you're at and you've done these things to another, and again, come up with your own personal practice in that way. So it's, I mean, we all, and I know, I think for all the amount of books of shadows that I have done, it's, you do have things when you go back, especially when you go back over and you look at things where you started. And sometimes, you know, how we get so involved with more intricate things that we forget simplicity. I think that's a way to also look at when you're doing something and you write it down and you do that, especially as a solitaire, you get to really kind of review where you've kind of gone, you know, well, I think I used too much red in that one kind of a thing. So, yeah. So we are almost at our break time, but do you have anything you want to share right now on either subject at this point of solitaire or coven before we break?
Just that if you're starting out or already on the solitaire path or interested in it, don't ignore it. There's something there for you if you're feeling a pull, whether it's to the coven or to just a self-interest in exploration. There's no right or wrong way to start this is what we're trying to tell you, but both parts are keys at some point that you may want to step into. And on and off both, you might switch between them here and there in between different groups that you join, or covens disband because their leader passes away and no one steps up, things like that. So there's a lot to that, but it's just really interesting. And we can get more into it after break.
After break. Okay, well, Nagashiva, break us away.
You're listening to The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron, a radio podcast on the LMC Radio Network. Stay tuned, as more magic is coming your way right after these messages. LMC. You're listening to the LMC Radio Network, broadcasting out of Forestville, California, on the World Wide Web at LuckyMojo.com. The LMC Radio Network is a media alliance that brings you the best in hoodoo, conjure, witchcraft, rootwork, new thought, spiritualism, and pagan ways. Our shows include the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour, live on Sundays from 3 to 4:30 Pacific Time. Crystal Silence League Hour, The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron, Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places, and the Now You Know Show. All these shows are available as audio podcasts via the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and at YouTube, where we make daily video uploads. Please like and subscribe at youtube.com/LuckyMojoCurioCo. Sponsored by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company, makers of handcrafted spiritual supplies and offering the widest selection of magical herbs and roots, plus hundreds of free web pages filled with spellcasting tips and fortune-telling techniques. Our shop is located in Forestville, California, and we sell retail and wholesale online at LuckyMojo.com.
We're back, and we're ready for more very interesting, shall I say, pathfinding, whether it be coven or solitaire. It's interesting because I'm going to bring up something that I wasn't sure I was, you know, I thought, well, there is another version, and it's between being in a coven and being a solitaire. Some people do it only, and some do it as a addition to being a solitaire, is what they call, it's an open circle. So it's more of a gathering of, like-minded pagan, people to form a circle, spiritual circle, to do, communication, a ritual, something that, you know, they want to engage in. And that process gives a solitaire the ability to find community and in the meantime, stay on their particular path or engaging with the people. They find that they would like to go into a more structured environment. So they get to kind of check out the people that are around and see what's going on and see where maybe they're led to a coven experience and, you know, kind of, I don't want to say apply, but ask to, you know, be admitted to the coven and then obviously go through the structures that are required. And I found that interesting because I've used that a lot for getting into community without necessarily getting into a committed, structured coven. And right. That helps when, you know, due to whatever circumstances you may be in that you are a solitaire, you've choice, or because there isn't a whole lot you can find. And when you do find these gatherings, it becomes a way to engage. So I wanted to share that before I turn it over here to Lenora so she can give us more words of wisdom about things.
Well, and, you know, about that, you know, we actually have a community here. I have not been able to make any of their events, but it's called the Avalon Rose Church Community here in Fayetteville. And they do exactly kind of what you're talking about. So they do it to the public and then you sign up and you go and you get to participate in these circles and rituals that celebrate the Sabbats and the Esbats and the different things that are going on, you know, and it, in a community way for a lot of solitaire witches, they're attracted to this kind of experience because then you can have some community without having too much of a commitment. Mm-hmm. And I've heard that they're wonderful experiences. I ran into a girl at a bar who was like, "You need to come to our circle." I already knew about it. We got into a conversation about tarot and then she was like, "Oh, you should come to this." And I'm like, "Oh, I'm on the page, but I've never been." Mm-hmm. So there are those, and you can check your local community and Facebooks and different groups to see, you know, what's out there and whether they're public or private. But it's really an experience and it does give yet another way for people interested to come in without too much of a commitment to learn, to experience, to see if it's for them, to just celebrate when they don't have anybody else there to celebrate with. Some mm-hmm. of us are hiding because we've got family members that don't approve of this, or we've got people that would tear us down, or we would lose our jobs, or, you know, so on and so forth. And so you don't go out and celebrate with the community. But this is definitely one way to do that and still stay safe. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's very interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I kind of thought that was when I was, as I said earlier before the show, when I was researching, I was kind of like, it never even dawned on me to have a definition of something like that because, number one, having been in California and Northern California, there are a lot more open communities that you can engage in. So it's never been something I thought was separated from the pagan community, but it is a way to connect without necessarily making it a formal process. And I think that, you know, again, solitaires, there's a lot of aspects with that, you know, it's like being a single person versus with people that are married. Is how I kind of look at it.
Kind of, yeah, in a way, yeah, because you have the extra support and you have the added energy in a coven family group that you don't have when you're solitary. And I think one of the things people question is, well, without the other people in the group when you're solitary, how do you raise the power and add additional support to what you're doing, aside from bringing in and asking for assistance? Because the group can do that with each person's energy and they feed mm-hmm. into the spell or into what you're doing. Mm-hmm. But when you're by yourself, in what way do you add that extra boost to what you're doing? And so I think we were going to talk about that and address it. You can use different elements. We had talked about this. I ran into a thing before I was going and training officially. I needed to feed something and have it keep going, and I didn't want to use my own energy. And so I just intuitively grabbed, we had a storm, a huge storm system near. So I grabbed the storm energy and put it into the spell, and that's what fed it. And it was in a figure eight infinity symbol, and it just kept looping back and forth, and it was feeding the spell eternally, and it was great. How did I know to do that? Was I ever trained to do that? Maybe in some other lifetime, I don't know. But it was intuitive, and that's what we can do as solitaries is sometimes borrow elements if we need to, or raise that with crystals or other things that you can bring in and vibrate or boost the energy. Calcite is a booster and can extend out what you're doing, things like that. So it's just really interesting. Do you have any ideas of how you would do that?
It's funny you talk about grabbing the energy of a storm. There's also, when you're working with things, it becomes to boost. It's like I always find when I move to a place, I find the spirit of that place, the land, the actual physical land. And by communing with that, I will, ask for help when I'm doing different things, because the land, part of that is the various elements, because you have water, you have obviously the air around the land, you have the physical, earth or trees, and, the actual fire is not necessarily, say this with great honesty, has nothing to do with the fires that California had actually experienced, but it is the element of that fiery ability to push forward in the spring, to come up and push your life out. And I have found that I use that for spell work or protection, or even when I'm trying to find a portal to get an answer, that is how I commune with that. And you can do it. It isn't just the piece of land that you live on. It's you go to a park, you go to the ocean, you go to the lake. We have a lake here, and I will find that doing that enhances what I'm doing, even if I'm not physically there and I've been there, but I will call upon that element to enhance it. So it becomes what is around you that you work with, and not without draining anything is how I work. So,
okay. Well, that's interesting. I hadn't thought about doing it that way.
Also, because I have spent a lot of time, I'm not one of the people that lives in a cabin out in the middle of nowhere. I basically have always lived in country since I moved out of Southern California, and I'm doing it now even here in Arkansas. So I've always had the elements around me and the rawer elements, I should say. And so that tends to be what I gravitate towards, which is interesting because, I wouldn't say I'm an outdoorsy person, but that's how I function.
Okay.
So, but anything, as far as how to work with being a solitaire, it's very interesting because when you practice, you're practicing on a time schedule of your own. So for instance, if there's something you really need to do now, and it's, you can't wait, you have the ability to do that, even in small ways. I know that part of what I would do when I was working at one job is I would take my break, and I would go start to do walking. And I would walk out, and I would, you know, there was a block, there was parking lots, and I would connect with the elements. I would connect with what I needed to get, whatever that was I needed to work on. And a lot of it had to do with, I was events coordinator. So it was always working to get the events put together or get the people, you know, that I needed to connect with. Not forcing, but opening the doors for the right ones to come forward. So sometimes those kind of things are the fluid movement of a practitioner. And when you're used to being a solitaire, you kind of use it a lot more.
Okay. Interesting.
What would you do?
I do know that there are some challenges with being in a coven too. You know, as you have usually... there's at least between 2 and 13 people in a coven, typically at least 3, but no more than 13. And can you imagine trying to corral 13 people to get them all on the same page? Because when you have a coven, they all have to agree before they do a ritual or a spell. So getting everybody on the same page and in the right, you know, frame of mind to jump in while they've also got life going on and spouses and kids and, you know, jobs and all this other stuff is a bigger challenge now than it used to be, I think, because we are just so busy with other aspects of life. Mm-hmm. And, you know, getting more than 3 people to agree on something is sometimes hard to get people to see that this is necessary, because usually you do magic when it's necessary and there's no other way. So then arguing ensues about whether or not there's a different way to do it. Mm-hmm. And is it needed? And do we need to get together? And, you know, just little things like that. And not everybody, but the larger the group, the harder it is to get everybody on board sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah, really. Yeah. I found that when I was working. Well, when you work to do, you have a job and you have to get a bunch of people together, whatever it is, whatever kind of job, it's the same thing. It's trying to get everybody positioned so you can, you know, get focused and have a flow. But, you know, with being, as again, when you're solitaire, you don't have that. The downside is you don't have the extra energy, the interactions, the family environment. But you also tend to, you know, have the ability to put things into practice or without really conforming into a group or expectations or navigate
yes.
certain concepts.
Well, and I think now there's even fewer covens than there used to be because this is such a demand, the way that the coven is set up. And it's getting harder and harder to see group leaders, you know, emerging that want to start a coven and that have enough people that they trust to be in a coven. And there's just, you know, when you want to be in a coven, you want the experience, but you have to have the degrees and the training and the different things happening within the levels and stuff. You can't just run off and be like, I want to start a coven. I don't know what I'm mm-hmm. doing. Mm-hmm. You know, some people do that, but I wouldn't recommend it. So again, discernment, just use your discernment yeah. about what you feel is happening with the group or the person you're approaching.
Right. Right. And, you know, I know sometimes you're called to step aside from a coven so you can experience certain things that a group of people, no matter how family orientated it is and has all that, you need that space. It's
your self-growth going back to solitaire. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's fascinating because, you know, I had a coven I was part of for many decades and then things shifted and whether I liked it or not, I needed to be on my own. And that became a challenge because I was so used to that safety net. And that was a great thing and all the rest of it. And then suddenly I'm kind of out there on my own again and, you know, but in a different way. And I had to, not want to use the word toughen up, but I had to be able to, I'm going to say this, I know this is a little bit at one point when I started dealing with some of the people on that I have been dealing with, is, you know, kind of put your big girl panties on. It's kind of basically put everything together and just walk there and do what you need to do. It's you stop relying on others. And it isn't bad, because you can always go back into that. But there's a place where you have to be on your own, just like when we grow up and we suddenly decide, I want to have my own apartment, Mom and Dad. I love you very much, but I need my own space. And right. You do that. That's the same thing. And then, you know, you come back and visit. And then there may be a time where it's a necessity that you come back into the family environment, or there's, you know, a decision that we're going to have a big compound. Now we're going to have this place where we have all our family members and we can come together and that kind of thing. So,
Covenstead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Covenstead. So it is a very interesting way of shifting, but it's also fluid. And again, there is never any one way, period.
No, there's no right one way or only way to do this. There's a lot of different ways to step in and out, and there's a lot of different ways to fully move between both and possibly the circle in between or at the beginning, to gather interest, to gain right. interest, to spark interest in people who can then go down pathways and join
right.
groups officially or privately or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely. A lot of people like me, I mean, I didn't realize that I had any type of affinity to magic. I had no clue. Mm-hmm. We didn't call it magic. We called it energy and we called it healing and, you know, different aspects and things. But I had no clue that it was so close to what this is. And it's already a part of what I do and who I am. So once mm-hmm. I came into this, I was like, whoa, that's awesome. So I think there's more people out there besides me who are like, oh, wait, there's a title for that? and it's not an ego, it's just total dumbfoundation, because we were not taught this. And we're like, oh, okay, that's cool. Mm-hmm. So if you're feeling it, definitely follow it, because there is more than one title, more than one word that can describe things. And I learned that when I decided to come into this. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's, I mean, we all know that structure is a safety, and we love structure, and, you know, not everybody loves it all the time, of course, but it does mean we get to understand and we experience it. Now, you know, you came to it after a certain amount of time and found that after all this other experience, this put more perspective in place.
It explained what I was doing naturally on the side, on top of what I was already understanding what I was doing. And then I was doing these. I'm like, I have no idea why I'm doing that, but I'm just going to do it. And then, you know, people are like, you know what you're doing, right? No idea. I'm just following intuition. And they're like, yeah, that's the four elements. You're creating this. You're doing that. I'm like, I had no idea. Mm-hmm, so, mm-hmm. you know, it's awesome. So if you're out there and you're doing other things and you feel an affinity to, you know, this pathway, it's probably going to incorporate into whatever it is you're doing. It's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, we love labels. We want labels. Things make it easy when we have labels. I mean, go into a grocery store, and if you don't have any labels on the, you know, the shelving, you're not going to be knowing what the heck you're buying or what you're looking at. You might, if they're, you know, at a certain level of like, Cocoa Puffs, you'll know you're getting Cocoa Puffs on the, because the package says that. But it's the idea that sooner or later, this gives you a more structured environment. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people are, that's how they're drawn. They've experienced these things in whatever form, and they've been able to, you know, use it, but there is something that they feel they need more of. And that's when they either are led to, or someone walks up and starts connecting with them, and they suddenly find that this is where they need to start focusing their structure, their life.
And if you're truly supposed to be in a coven, your teacher or your coven will appear. Like that, that is so true. I cannot even tell you. Mine appeared out of nowhere. Like I just had no idea that that's how that was going to go. And it was perfect because I was ready and so was that person. So, you know, when you're ready, that teacher will appear. You will be guided. Now you can want something for a really long time and be frustrated not finding it. But remember that the solitary path is how you find about yourself. So start there if you can't connect directly with something like a coven or a teacher, because it is definitely where you start.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, I know all of us get into, a lot of us will find ourselves wandering into a store or wandering into some environment that, you know, has got a, you know, a fair. I mean, fairs would be, you know, the best thing is, first of all, because there is such a diversity, even when they have a name, like even the Renaissance Fair, which is actually, I'd have to say that's how I first got introduced to a lot of different things. And, you know, it was in Southern Cal, and then it wound up in Northern California, and then, you know, all that went on. But you get a taste of it, and you kind of go around, and then it's almost like your little inner compass suddenly starts pointing you in place, and you suddenly find yourself going, I don't know why I'm standing here talking to you. And then suddenly it starts to reveal itself.
It does.
And there you go. And it's very interesting. So that's the part most of us fear, is that being, you know, like that open quality and following the whatever it is that you're following, because most of us have been taught, you know, to, you know, be careful and don't do this and avoid that. And, you know, so we have the little structure in there going, be careful, be careful. And then suddenly there'll be and it always happens when you're really at the right place at the right time, something, someone can say to you, something happens, and it's like, my grandma used to say that to me, or my, you know, my boyfriend said that, you know, 2 years ago, and, you know, here you are. You know, there's just these things that happen. And those are just,
they're pivotal moments. They do occur. I agree. I was at a psychic fair a Renaissance fair when I was a kid. I was probably in my teens, and I didn't have enough money to buy the wand. There was a bunch of crystal wands, and I walked away from it, and the lady's like, it's an Isis wand. And all I did was turn around and give her the money. Like, I was not supposed to be spending that money. I spent it immediately. I have no idea who the goddess Isis was. All I knew was that that was for me. So you never know what's going to trigger. I agree. It's pretty cool.
That's it. And that's part of what the pagan path is, whether it's in a traditional structure or a more fluid structure. It's about that moment when it opens and there's like the aha moment, whether it's because you just know from the sound of the word or the person or the object, it becomes. That's the key that, you know, turns the lock and opens the door for you. And I know most of us have had those, you know, and I can't say everybody does, but most of us have had those moments. And then there's sometimes where you get, I don't want to say, you get given a bigger push. For whatever reason.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. To follow that thing, get in that coven, do that, read that book, you know. When they, and we know this from movies all the time, when a book falls off the shelf and it's right at your feet or in your hand or whatever, and that becomes the pivotal moment for the character. But those really do happen.
They do.
You know, it's part of being aware and following it, and that, you know, suddenly you're in the space to do what you need to do and what is right for you at that moment to be able to help you move forward. And that, again, it starts kind of in a solitaire way, because those are solitary moments that happen to you. And then the next step becomes whether you suddenly are guided to a group of people that, you know, are there, or a book, or, you know, something that you suddenly find is you doing it on your own. But it's very interesting and very fluid. And I think, you know, getting that and saying it's okay is important for us to hear.
Finding other people, I think you have those solitary moments, and then you have your solitary time, however long or short it is. Finding those moments and then moving into groups or spaces or online interest groups or whatever it is can continue to feed that interest. So whether it's books or people or, you know, meetings or whatever it is, find it and definitely go down that path, because it's got something for you, or you wouldn't be pulling to it.
Well, I'm looking at our time, and I think it's time for us to start wrapping things up. So one of the things I will mention is our next show that will be happening will be divination, scrying, black mirrors, and crystal balls with Deborah Voith and myself. And so that will be our next show, and it'll be, you know, coming up. And then to get a hold of us, I need to be able to hopefully read my notes to make sure I get everybody. You can connect with me at www.readersandrootworkers.org, hoodoopsychics.com, and missionaryindependent.org, as well as milk-and-honey.com and elvira.com. And for Lenora, you can connect with her at lenorabrightmoon.com. So at this point, do you have anything you would like to say before we sign off?
No, it's been a lively discussion, and I'm excited to see other people follow their paths and discoveries, and continue to meet people out there in the communities. Looking forward to connecting with people.
Okay, well, at that, then we bid you have a wonderful holiday, whatever holiday it is, and we will see you next month.
Thank you for listening to The Witch, The Priestess, and The Cauldron, a radio podcast on the LMC Radio Network. Our podcast airs on Thursdays and is available for download. Plus, we're uploading them weekly as YouTube videos. Questions or comments on this show, or ideas for upcoming shows, can be sent to our website at witchpriestessandcauldron.com. That's witchpriestessandcauldron.com. Until next time, merry meet, merry part, and merry meet again. Blessed be.